It's time for Living the Good Life. If I can get all the buttons going right at the same time, Pastor Jim, would be good. You're on. You're not on? Yes, you are. Talk. Wonder if they've changed the mics, because you're on. Hang on, we will find out where he is. Okay, let's try this one.
Am I on now?
You're on two, not three, so they've moved the mics around. Okay. Yeah, talk again, please.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, there's something wrong with that. Pull that other mic to you. Folks, we'll be right with you. We're going to get him figured out here in just a minute.
This one?
Talk.
All right.
No, it's not that one either. All right, let's go back. Keep talking.
Well, which one would you like me to talk into?
Wow. Okay, that's not working right, so pull this other one, clear over here. So, dear friends, we're glad that you are joining us today on Living the Good Life, and we're excited to be here.
It's just an
There we go. Okay.
You know, this has just been one of those days of Satan trying to tamper with everything electrical we've got.
We had problems this morning for 90 minutes prior to church starting, and everything got straightened out at 1 minute till 10. And that was a little crazy, was it not, Pastor Jim?
Yes, that was very crazy.
These things happen. But anyway, we had a tremendous service, and we're going to have a great show. We're glad you're joining us today, and sorry for our technical problems. And so we are so excited about what God is doing, because he's doing some major things in people's lives, and he gets all the glory and the praise. It's just wonderful what he's doing. Pastor Jim, we are Resurrection Sunday, and yet we're in the midst of a very difficult virus outbreak of COVID-19.
Yes, we are. But, you know, I mentioned to Chip beforehand, Chip does kind of controls the shows before us, that, you know, we had... In Florida, the governor has said he's given a religious exemption for churches, which is good because we had 13 people there today.
Yeah, but a little over our 10 limit.
But I thought, I was reminded that first Resurrection Sunday, the apostles were hidden away and locked behind closed doors, just waiting for the cops to come and arrest them. So.
That's right, they were, weren't they? Yeah.
So we weren't. No, we could kind of identify with that, but it was a great service. The Spirit really moved. We may be few because of the virus, but
yes.
But the point, you know, and I've seen this. Well, every person I've listened to on Facebook, because I follow a lot of believers on there, it's just kind of reminding us that. It's not, this is kind of stripped away everything. I mean, all that's left is the resurrection.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We can focus on what really happened. We don't need the crowds.
Right.
To focus on what really happened.
Exactly.
That first resurrection
that's a great point.
Sunday.
There weren't crowds then. There were just a couple people.
Just a couple of people.
Right.
Went to the tomb. Then a couple more.
Marys.
Two Marys and a Salome or two.
Right, yeah.
Then Peter and John.
Then Peter and John. So just a little handful.
Yeah, and then Jesus, that first resurrection day, only appeared to 11 other people. He appeared to the 11 that night.
Right, yes.
The remaining 11 disciples.
But look how it spread. The news has spread across the globe. And now 2,000 years later, we are celebrating it.
Amen.
As we do every single year. And so we welcome you to this show today. We're going to have a tremendous show with some great music. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Sorry for the technical issues there at the beginning, but we did get a mic working for Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim Ellsbury is my associate pastor and has been for, I forget now.
Well, I've been coming to church.
Long time.
It'll be 12 years in September.
12 years. So we've been working together a very long time, and we just sync very well, and God continues to bless our work together week after week and with our parishioners. So We just are glad that you're tuning in today. We've got a powerful service here on the show. I mean, we're not, you know, we're having the show, but I mean,
it's going to be
kind of like a service,
we're gonna,
you know?
We're going to have church.
We're going to have church right here, just like the McKays just did, our dear friends, and they are wonderful. So for all of those out there that are battling fear and anxiety right now, we're going to start the show binding those things over our listeners, over all of us, that we are not going to be concentrating on how scared we might be. We're going to be talking about faith, and we're going to be talking about the triumphant, resurrected Lord Jesus.
And can I just...
Please.
This might be a good place to quote John 16:33.
Yes.
You know, Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation."
Amen, yeah.
"But be of good cheer." You know, it's okay.
It's okay.
"I have overcome the world."
Amen.
And it doesn't... It's all about focus. That's what a lot of
it is.
People are saying. It is. It's so true. Where are you focusing? Are you focusing on the fears? Are
right.
you focusing on the Word of God and
Amen.
On faith?
Yes.
So much depends on where you focus.
Yes, absolutely. Where is your focus? So, dear Lord, we thank you right now for this opportunity to be live on the air in Clearwater, Florida, again, and across the globe. We thank you that your presence is here already. We know you're here. We know you're here. We feel your presence. We thank you for the great music that we will use that will help people really, really get something from this amazing day. Lord, we just ask that faith will rise and fear will leave. In
Amen.
The name of Jesus. Fear, anxiety, panic, we speak to you in the name of Jesus. God said that we have authority. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm you." So, Lord, we claim that against this COVID-19. We stand against it together in Jesus' name, and we speak life, resurrected life, resurrection power into our listeners today. Let them feel your presence in a very mighty way. Let them remember and know that you are the living God, the God that raises us out of our circumstances, out of sickness, out of fear and anxiety, out of all of that stuff that's not good for us. And you set us firmly on the rock, Christ Jesus. And we give you the glory and the praise for that. And we're going to start with one of Pastor Jim's favorite songs by Keith Green, who went to be with the Lord with two of his children many, many years ago in a plane crash, a long time ago in the 80s, I believe.
1982.
And such a writer of amazing songs. This one is Easter Song.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing. You can be healed right now. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ, he will reveal it now. The angels, they all surround us, and they are ministering Jesus' power. Quickly now, reach out in the this could be your glorious hour. Joy to the world, He is risen. Alleluia, He's risen. Alleluia, He's risen. Alleluia, Alleluia. Just as He said, quickly now, go tell His disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, He has risen. Alleluia, He's risen.
I love that. Doesn't that just set the tone right there, Pastor Jim? Wow. Praise God. All right. And that's where we are today. It's Resurrection Sunday, and this is 2020. Keith Green says that so very well right there. He is risen. He is risen. Nothing can change that. The devil can't change that. That happened. And, let's get your mic back on. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, the devil would like to change it. In fact, Yes. You mentioned it this morning in the sermon that, you know, the soldiers were bribed.
Yes.
To say, oh, the disciples came.
Yeah, they took the body.
Stole the body.
Yeah.
Okay, these are pretty well-trained Roman soldiers. And here we have a band of 11 scared
right.
Jewish men going to overpower these Roman soldiers, roll the big stone away, and swipe the body.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I don't think it was even a thought at all, ever, in their minds.
Well, no, they remember, where did we find them at this time on Resurrection Sunday? They're hiding in a room, in the upper room, behind locked doors. That doesn't show me a bunch of brave people.
No, they were hiding because they were afraid that the soldiers would come and get them because they followed Jesus.
Right.
They were disciples. And so we're going to start right now today with Isaiah 53. I talked about it today in the Facebook post and in our YouTube video, which we'll tell you more about that later. Isaiah 53 was written through the pen of the prophet Isaiah 700 to 800 years before Jesus actually came. And what he is talking about here, Jesus, God the Father loved to foretell. And I mentioned this today in the Facebook post. God tells you what he's going to do. Then he does it. And then he tells you, hey, I did that. I kept my promise. Remember that? So I'm going to tell you that again if you want to write that down. God tells you what he's going to do. That's called prophecy. Then he does it. That's called action. Okay? And then he tells you what he did. That's called a reminder that he kept his promise. So in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah begins to talk about the Messiah. Start reading, Pastor Jim, if you will. I don't know what translation. I've got Amplified today. But
I've got Christian Standard.
Okay, whatever you want to do. Would you read the first three verses?
Okay. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is the last of the, what are called in Isaiah, the servant songs.
Yes.
That are basically all prophecies about Jesus. And, you know, it says he grew up and nothing impressive.
No, he wasn't famous as a child.
He wasn't famous.
No.
He wasn't.
Right.
You know, wasn't impressive. Had no majesty. So it wasn't like he was grew up like a king or even looked like a king for that matter.
He was just the oldest of probably six or eight
kids
that Mary and Joseph had.
Right. And nobody except, of course, Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna knew the real origins of Jesus.
Right.
So everybody just thought he was just some, you know, some kid. Some carpenter's son. And yet we know during his ministry, that's where verse 3 comes in.
Mm-hmm.
He was despised and rejected of men. That's what...
All through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's what... You know, the week we just went through, Holy Week, was all about. He was tested, and he was despised. He was a man of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he took our suffering on himself on the cross, and he knew what sickness was. I mean, he healed the sick. He saw all that sickness.
It was everywhere around mm-hmm. him. Yeah.
He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him.
Right.
You know, especially there, you know, the last week of Jesus' life. This is so true.
Yes.
You know, he did not meet their expectations.
They were looking for a political king.
They were looking for someone to overthrow the Roman government so that Israel could be a free nation again. And when that didn't happen, they turned against him. That's very possibly the reason Judas betrayed him. He was looking for a political Messiah.
Exactly.
And, you know, that will happen when Jesus comes back and ushers in the millennium. Yeah, then it's going to be a little different. This time he came as the suffering servant.
Yes.
You know, and it was for a completely different reason. It was to establish his kingdom, true, but it's not a political kingdom. He said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, I'd raise an army and run y'all down."
Exactly.
My paraphrase. But, you know, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom invades this world, but it's not, it doesn't find
exactly.
its basis, its roots, its source in this world.
Right.
And that's what people couldn't grasp at that point. They still wanted a Messiah like David who would overthrow the enemy.
Right.
And yet here comes this man willingly dies on a cross. And you brought out that point this morning. He willingly went. He, of his own authority, he says in John, "I have the authority to lay my life down, and I have the authority to take it back up again," which is why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Because he says, I think it's in Matthew, when they come to seize him in the garden, "Don't you know I could call on my Father and get 6 legions of angels?" Well, that's 72,000 angels. That probably would have been more than enough to have completed that job.
That's a lot of angels.
That's a lot of
72,000.
So, you know, he did not meet their expectations. He was something completely different than what they expected.
Right.
And you want me to go on reading?
Yeah, read verse 4. Let's talk about verse 4.
"Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, he carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted." I'll do verse 5 too.
Mm-hmm.
"But he was pierced because of our rebellion,
Amen.
Crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and we are healed by his wounds.
Mm.
You know, I like that because verse 4, it talks about, you know, he bore our sicknesses, carried our pain, and yet instead of having compassion on him, what did the crowd do? They mocked him.
Right.
They considered him stricken, struck down by God.
Right.
You know, they even quoted scripture to him. If he trusted in God that he would deliver him, let him deliver him mm-hmm. if he delights in him. They mocked him on the cross. And yet, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Jesus took our sins to the cross. He was the perfect Passover lamb. I talked about this on
Amen.
Wednesday night.
Yes, he was.
He was the Passover lamb. He bore our sins. When John first saw him, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Yes.
John had that prophetic vision of what Jesus would do. And he did, right? I mean, it's right here. John may have been thinking of this verse. The punishment for our peace was upon him.
Yes.
And peace in Hebrew is not just lack of war. It means wholeness.
Wholeness.
It can mean wholeness. So what makes us whole was because he went through, you know, went through punishment. And I say this like every time we do communion.
Right.
Or almost, that we break the bread and, you know, Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." Because of that brokenness, here in verse Isaiah 53, verse 5, we are made whole. And then he says, we are healed by his wounds. And some people say, well, how can that be? You know what? I don't know. But it says it. He not only took everything that sin had brought about in us.
Yes.
Ooh, that just came to me.
Yeah.
Everything that sin had brought about in us, Jesus took to the cross.
Amen.
Our sins and everything that has happened to us because of our sins.
He redeemed us.
He redeemed us from the curse.
Exactly. That's what this is all about. And I love this verse 4 of Isaiah 53 because written 700 or 800 years before the Messiah came, God the Father was announcing to the prophets, this is going to happen. This is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, people, Isaiah chapter 53, because it is so evident that Isaiah is talking about the coming Messiah. And he has borne our griefs. And the past tense there is because it was already decided in the mind of the Father,
mm-hmm.
right? God already said, this is the plan, and we're going to execute the plan. You know, so often we know people that are wishy-washy or, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and they never do it. God the Father had the plan before the foundation of the earth. He discussed it with the Trinity. I mean, they all knew what this was going to happen, and Jesus knew his part in it. And I love verse 4 so much. Surely he has borne. In Isaiah 53, this is 700 years before Jesus came to this earth. But it was already decided by the Father. He has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses. I'm reading in the Amplified Bible today. Griefs is translated, those three words here in the Amplified Bible, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains. Do any of you out there have any of that? Do you have any sickness? Do you have any weakness? Do you have any distress? Have any sorrow? You have any pain? And yet, it says here in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, people thought God did this to him. No, God allowed it because this was the plan. Okay? God allowed it. In verse 5, as Pastor Jim was just talking, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our guilt and iniquities. We mentioned this morning, and it bears repeating, that when the soldiers beat Jesus, tradition says that it was typical that they had a handle, and on that handle were like 12 leather cords. And at the end of those cords were jagged pieces of metal, and I don't know if it was glass, bone.
Bone, it could have been.
It's something jagged and nasty.
Pieces of metal, pieces of bone.
Right. What did they do with those, with that whip?
Well, they would whip you with it, and because it had these pieces of sharp things on the end, it would lacerate your skin.
Just tear your skin to pieces. I mentioned this morning the movie The Passion his name just slipped my mind, who produced that.
Mel Gibson.
One of the best portrayals, and hard to watch, very hard to watch, because when you see Jesus suffer like that, but the point is, people, he had to. It was predetermined. It was the plan of the Father, and he had to suffer and go to the cross for us.
Well, yeah, and again, it didn't take Jesus by surprise. And if you look through the Gospels, he kept telling the disciples, this is what's going to happen. And yet, none of them had it figured out.
They did not.
He said, I'm going to be handed over to the elders, the chief priests. I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise again.
You know, when you read the book of Matthew, which we're studying right now in our series, Where Healing Happens, and people, we encourage you, read the book of Matthew with us. Jesus is very clear about this. Matthew 12:40, he says, just like Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster or the whale for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be. He already said, hey, I'm going to be in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, mm-hmm. Right? Matthew 12:40, I believe it is. Are you looking for that?
Yeah, it's Matthew 12:40.
Okay.
That one I know. I know I was actually looking up another one.
Oh, okay.
Because... Yeah, you know, they wanted a sign, and he said, you know, it's an evil and adulterous generation, but
right.
That seeks a sign, but I've got one for you.
Right.
And then over in Matthew 16,
mm-hmm.
Right after Peter's confession, where Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God."
Yes, yes.
You know, Jesus blesses him, and then. And it says in verse 21 of Matthew 16, from then on, like this was not just a one-time thing, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day.
That's very clear.
And then what does Peter do, though?
Oh, no, no, you can't have that. Oh, no, you can't
no,
do that.
No, Lord, we can't. No. God forbid, Lord, this is not going to happen. And Jesus, in one of his sternest rebukes, says, get behind me, Satan.
Right.
You're thinking like men think.
Yeah.
And again, that goes along with Isaiah 53. It makes no sense. You know, men were expecting something completely different. And God said, did you read the book?
Right. God always fulfills prophecy. He tells you what he's going to do, then he does it, then he tells you he did it.
Right.
Sandy Patty, they could not. Yep, they could not. You'll see what we mean in this song.
They looked at him and saw a simple man, a carpenter. With healing in his hands, they saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man. They saw, but could they really understand? Could not. to the teaching that they heard. They wondered at the mystery of his word. They wondered what he meant about a father's plan.
They could not stop God's plan. Although the devil tried and tried and tried to abort the plan over and over and over again. He could not. I love that old song, Sandy Patty. Wow. Praise God. I'm just a little excited about that.
I can tell. Praise God.
I mean, because look at this. God always, he tells you what he's going to do. He does it. Then he tells you he did it. Isaiah 53, 700 or 800 years before Jesus came. He said, this will happen. The Messiah will bear our griefs. Verse 4 of Isaiah 53. That's our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses. Dear listener, right now, Jesus already died on the cross for your sicknesses, your weaknesses, your distresses, your mental anguish, your emotional pain, your bad memories, your sicknesses, the things that are getting you down. And it's already done, and he was wounded for all of that. We had just all our part is, Pastor Jim, is we got to accept what he's already done.
Oh, amen.
We got to accept what he's already done.
Sometimes that's the hard part.
Well, they couldn't stop it.
Right.
That's why I love that song by Sandy Patty. They couldn't stop it. This was God's plan. God was going to get his plan done. It could not be stopped.
Right. But I mean, for each of us to accept, oh yeah, I believe that. That sometimes, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, why doesn't God just take away Corona? I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I think God's using it.
Oh, I do too.
He could take it away at any given moment. And right now, we have not had the outbreak they expected.
Right.
So that's a great thing. But what is going on in people's lives as a result of this attack? I believe there's some changes going on in people's priorities, in their lifestyles, in the way they think about what's important to them.
Mm-hmm. And that's good.
And that's real good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Back to verse 5 of Isaiah 53. He was wounded, that's Jesus, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and our iniquities. The chastisement, peace, and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. But verse 6 of Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has made to light on him the guilt and iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and opened not his mouth. We see that in Matthew, that when they made fun of him, when they mocked him, hey, tell us who you are, you know, all of this. Like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He fulfilled all that scripture exactly the way it was prophesied.
He only talked when asked a direct question, either by the high priest or by Pilate. That's the only time. You know, he didn't complain, didn't argue. He just answered their question. I mean, I love the way Mark puts it, because the high priest says, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?
Right.
And Jesus says, I am.
Right.
Meaning, I am the I am.
Right.
And that's why they accused him of blasphemy. I mean, and before Pilate, you know, Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to have you crucified? Jesus said, you wouldn't have that power unless it was given to you from above.
Right. In other words, God allowed it. Again, back to the quote of Graham Cook, God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power.
Right, because Jesus could have come, what a thought. Jesus could have come as the messianic warrior king.
Right.
And yet if he did, we'd still be in our sins.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and I can see God's wisdom and why he did it this way. Because people talk about wanting to bring the kingdom of God. That's only going to happen when Jesus comes back.
Right.
As the messianic warrior king and restores everything. Because right now, even though we've been redeemed, we're not quite ready for the kingdom yet. We're getting there, praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to think about that. There's a whole teaching in that somewhere.
Okay, there you go. Well, while you're thinking about that, we're going to John chapter 1. And ooh. John was the disciple that was the closest to Jesus. And the book of John is the one we always encourage new believers to read and reread and get it down on the inside of you. It's 21 chapters. If you are one of those that say, you know what, I know I need a deeper walk with the Lord, where do I begin? Begin in the book of John. John is the one that gives us the seven I am statements that Pastor Jim was just talking about. Jesus says seven times in the book of John, and each one of the I am statements gives you a reflection of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to see if I can get these in order. I'm the bread of life.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 8, I am the light of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 11, I'm the resurrection and the life. No,
chapter 10.
10. I am the
Good Shepherd.
Good Shepherd, and then also I am the door there. So there's four of them. Then chapter 11.
I am the resurrection and the life.
That's the fifth one. The sixth one.
John chapter 16, 14.
I'm the vine.
No, that's 15. 14 is I'm the way, the truth, and the
that's
life.
That's right. 14 is, and 15 is I'm the vine. Those are the seven I am statements. So as the book of John unfolds, it reveals to us who God is in the form of Jesus, the Son. Verse 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, before all time. I love the way John starts. It's just the way the book of Genesis starts. It's just really cool that he does that. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. In other words, before time was, God was. I cannot wrap my head around that, Pastor Jim. I cannot imagine a world where there is no time.
Amen.
But isn't that cool? Because God was there before there was time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God. The Word was God himself. Okay, so the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is God. And God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are also all God.
Right. And this, and well, you make a point of this when we talk about the Lord's Prayer. Come thy kingdom. Greek, depending on the order of the words, that's very important. You want the whatever word comes first in a sentence is the word you want to emphasize. So the last phrase here, and the Word was God, in the Greek it's God was the Word.
Yeah.
You know, yes. The emphasis there is on the divinity yes. of the Word.
God was the Word. Yes. Which exactly he is. And he was present originally with God. So God was the Word. Okay. Now, why do we read the Word of God? Because we want to learn all about God, because he's the Word. He was present originally with God. In other words, Jesus. All things were made and came into existence through him. You're here because God created you in your mother's womb. Psalm 139, David wrote and he said, oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God, I know you created me in my mother's womb, right? Without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Animals, plants, everything, guys. And I love verse 4. Of John 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay? So the life of God, we never got to that in the sermon today, so we will talk about it now. Romans 8:11 says, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he will give life to your mortal body through the spirit. Ooh, I love that. I didn't quote that exactly right. Do you want to talk?
I could sing it.
You can.
Well, that's an old song.
Oh, I know. I can too, yeah.
If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken. He'll give life to your mortal body. And I mentioned that this morning, I think during maybe communion, that Paul in Ephesians said, that's the power that dwells in us, that resurrection power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, then we're raised from death. We don't have to worry about death. We're raised up out of death.
Amen.
And, well, let me just quote that out of Ephesians real quick, because I think that's so important. I don't think we think, oh, I live such a low little life and nothing's ever going to change. Well, listen to this. Maybe this will change that for you. Because he says in his great prayer in chapter 1 of Ephesians, I'm going to start with verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and listen to this, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength, He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
The same. It just boggles the mind. The
Doesn't
same
it?
Power that raised Jesus out of that tomb lives
right.
In us.
We're going to talk more about that after this Chris Tomlin song. Resurrection power living on the inside. Woo! Come on, it's Resurrection Day, folks.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bow my sin and darkness. Living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. I'm dressed in
to accept it. You get freedom. Resurrection power. Living on the inside. We got some people texting us. Please do. That's fine. I'd love to hear from you. And it's so good that you're joining us today for this show. We have Beaconites scattered everywhere. We got some right in here from right around here. So others from other states. It's good to hear from all of you. You know what? This Resurrection Day is a life changer, Pastor Jim. That's what I feel in my spirit. And I believe part of that is because we are going through this horrible time of darkness and disease across the globe. And as a result of that, we need to emphasize the power, the life-changing resurrection power that we have on the inside of us if Jesus lives in us.
Amen. Amen. I mean, well, I mentioned before, we kind of strip it away of all the Easter egg hunts and all that stuff. You know, the trappings that have come along with it. And really, all you got to celebrate is the resurrection of Jesus. And I've seen people posting on Facebook that I just didn't think would post what they did about the resurrection. And I say praise God for that. You know, it's... what else is there to celebrate?
Right.
But the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
You know, you kind of kept almost singing it this morning. I serve a risen Savior.
Yeah, I almost did, didn't I?
Yes,
kind of did. Kind of didn't. But
but that's true. We don't
serve. He's in the world today. I know that he is
living. Whatever men may say.
Right. I
feel his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near.
Yes, he lives. He lives.
And we don't serve a dead prophet.
No.
We don't serve a dead teacher. We don't serve a dead science fiction author. We serve the risen Lord, the living Messiah, Jesus.
Amen. We do. And we are so blessed that we have this blessed hope within us.
Well, I mean, that's where the Lord kept pointing me yesterday. The more I thought about today and everything, I mentioned I had posted on Facebook, Sandy Patty, We Shall Behold Him.
Right.
That's a perfect Easter song, Resurrection Sunday song,
yes,
because
yes.
without the resurrection, there'd be no second coming of Jesus. And that is the hope we have.
Amen.
We have that hope within us, and it's grounded in Jesus' death and resurrection. And if he said, if all that was prophesied about, which it was, every bit of it, then every prophecy yet to be fulfilled in Jesus' second coming will be fulfilled.
Amen. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 5. I want to get this verse in before we get to the top of the hour. The light shines on in the darkness. That's Jesus. For the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and it's unreceptive to it. In other words, the darkness cannot overpower the light, people. It cannot. One little tiny match lit in a very dark room where there's no light whatsoever is going to permeate the darkness.
Amen. The other meanings of that word, to overcome, are to grasp or to comprehend. And as I was looking at that, I was thinking, you know, Jesus, his light shined.
Amen.
His light shone there when he was on earth, and the devil had no clue. He had no clue. He couldn't grasp what this really meant. He couldn't comprehend it. Paul said later when he was writing, I think in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, you know, if the rulers of this world knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah,
they
Paul did say that. I read that recently, too.
They wouldn't have put him to death because that's what sealed their defeat.
That's exactly right.
You know, Satan thought he won, and yet by Jesus going to the cross, Satan lost it all.
Amen. We're going to go more into book of Matthew, chapters 27 and 28 in just a few minutes. If you can stay around for our second hour, if for some reason you have to go, you can catch these shows two or three different ways. But one of them is tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts and go to the name of this show, Living the Good Life, and it should be up there probably tomorrow. The other thing that you can do is... go to our website, because we are placing some recent pictures there, our shows there. You love our website?
I do.
We worked for weeks and weeks on this website. And I want to thank Dan, our webmaster. He's amazing, and he worked with me constantly every day, and you board members worked with me too.
It looks so good.
It is so. We want to hear from you on it. www.bohmglobal.com. It's a state-of-the-art, up-to-date. It's just amazing. And some people have asked, how can we give finances to support the mission work that we are carrying on with our radio station in Puebla, Mexico, and feeding the kids and the old folks at night? And I just talked to Enrique the other day, and he said they have really been out on the streets feeding the viejitos, the old people at night, with a meal, with a blanket. If you want to be a part of that, go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Take a look at the missions page. There's a picture of Puebla right there with the Popo, the big volcano. I was just there a few weeks back, right before all this hit here in the United States. I was there for almost a couple weeks. It was just wonderful to be with our people there. And a lot of them listen to our shows, and that's great. And we just encourage you, if you want to give, go to the giving page. We are hooked up with Subsplash, which some of the largest churches in the United States have Subsplash. It's a very safe way to give. It's secure. Your gift will be secure. And so if you want to give towards missions or towards just the general operating account for these shows, then you can do that. Pastor Jim and I don't receive a salary, and we haven't. For so many years, I don't remember the last time we had a check.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But we're not doing it for money. We're just, that's not what we're about. So
exactly.
Your money will go straight for the preaching of the gospel is what I'm trying to say. Not for any administrative costs or anything like that. We do pay some utilities on our building and rent. But other than that, that's it. So anyway, we are glad to be able to let you know just how great God is. And you'll see that if you go to our website, bohmglobal.com.
And it's just going to keep growing.
It is. We now have our own YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com and look for BOHM Global. You'll see a lighthouse that's got a lot of different colors in it. That's ours. And it will ask you if you want to subscribe and answer yes. And then anytime we are live, which is every Sunday morning on YouTube, you can. It'll come up on your phone. So YouTube.com and look for BOHM Global. That's the same as our website address, bohmglobal.com. We want to stay consistent with all of it. So go to youtube.com, look for bohmglobal.com. You'll see bohmglobal, not .com. On YouTube, you will see this morning's sermon. It should be up there by now, the whole thing, not just Facebook post. No, it's not real lengthy. No, but it's... It's always timely. May not be lengthy, but it's timely.
I like that.
Well, you like that?
You have to keep that in mind.
Okay, I will. Pastor Jim, tell them about the prayer ministry. You got about 1 minute to do that.
Okay. Beacon of Hope has had a prayer ministry since late 2008, early 2009. And we want you to send in your prayer requests. We have a dedicated team who will pray for you. Betty, who's also on the radio, and myself take the prayer requests, and we will send out a prayer. We do believe in praying in unity. So we'll send out a prayer for everybody on the list to pray. And we believe strongly that God answers prayer.
And boy, doesn't he.
Boy,
oh, my
doesn't
heavens.
He. We had a lady in church today. It may take a while, but we've been praying for her to get on second shift for how long?
Right.
And it's going to happen.
It's happening as of May 4th.
Yeah.
Not only that, her brother was given up for dead, really, in Tampa General Hospital right now, just on dialysis and all kinds of life support. And she got a text from his wife right at the end of our service that he's improving and they're going to take him off the ventilator.
Right. So, you know, we believe God answers prayer. We don't ask anything in return for praying for you, except that when God answers your prayer, please let us know. I do keep record of all that. What a faith builder that has been. Also, you know, if you want to become a member of a prayer team, just, again, it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. Just email us. Let us know you want to be on the prayer team. Send in your requests. Send in your praise reports. We always like to hear that.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.